Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is The Natural Alternative. I am so delighted to welcome Neil Skillbeck to the program today. Neil has been in the industry for decades with huge amount of knowledge, and we're going to talk about the positive things we can do for our health today. Welcome, Neil.
So my background is originally I was trained as a naturopath, but and that's going back in the 1960s. So I've obviously been in the industry a long time. And at the college that I did my naturopathic diploma with at the time, they also included chiropractic because in those days, natural remedies or natural therapies were sort of more together rather than being specialized too much. And so I did both. And then when the government wanted to register people for chiropractic, then I had to go and get tested and all that sort of stuff. So they accepted me as a registered chiropractor as well. And then I moved to Queensland because I was in Victoria at the time. And then they allowed me to register as an osteopath as well because I'd done a lot of training in different areas. So that's really my background. And so I guess over the last 30 or so, 30, 40 years, I've been more specialized in the chiropractic or the manipulative field.
Yes.
And we formed a college and taught people some of our methods because we invented various techniques, but in the early stages, it was more naturopathic, I suppose. And it's only because of my understanding. I'm not one for a lot of remedies. I think they have their place. I'm not saying that they don't, but I like to go back to basics and when and which is basically looking at people's lifestyle and. I find that's not a popular area to enter into. And so that's why I sort of went more to the manipulative side.
Yeah, right. I did a clinic experience with Henry Osiki about 30 years ago. And I
Right.
remember him saying to me, and that this actually, it is amazing when you do clinic experience with someone like that. And he was already a published author. He had his own supplement range and all that sort of thing. And of course, his wife, Vera. And it was interesting because one of the things he said is that less than 10% of people will want to change their lifestyle.
Yes.
So he said that why would you bother spending a lot of energy spent,
That's
which was sort of interesting to me at the time. And I stupidly took that on board because when you do have people as famous as him at the time, say that sort of thing, and you're a young, inexperienced, I was literally my third year naturopathy when he
yes.
said that to me doing my clinic experience.
Right. Yeah.
So
Well,
it's
I
amazing how, and the last 3 years, if it's taught me anything, it has been rethink everything,
Yes.
question everything.
Well, I think that because I was trained more in the very traditional understanding of where healing comes from. It comes from the sunshine, the fresh air,
Mother
the
Earth.
rest and the
Yeah.
exercise, and I call them the seven doctors, and that's really where I basically have centered most of my understanding through. And we can talk a little bit about that today if you wish, but
Yeah. Well, I really think people are at a spot on the planet where they're on a knife edge. If people don't start taking care of their own health in every way they can, they're not going to do well because we're in a really scary place on the planet at the moment with the way everything's happening.
For sure. And so what I'd like to talk a little bit about is the difference between the philosophy of disease and the philosophy of health.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
And that's a very fundamental thing. And people can look at negative sides of things or they can look at positive sides. I'm not saying that there's no arguments on the negative side, but there's two ways of looking at the human body. You can either apply a remedy, and sometimes remedies can be natural or they can be chemical. And as you know, when you introduce something to the human body or you have some intervention that might have a side effect, while it might help one area, it probably is causing many other problems. And so we naturally prefer to use something that's not going to do any harm to the body. In fact, isn't that a doctor's oath that they do first do no harm? And so when you're looking at treating disease, you're looking at it from a different point of view than if you're building health, because if your philosophy believe if you take into account that your philosophy is surrounding about that the body being a self-regenerating mechanism, and that nature has armed it with over millions of years with huge amounts of protection, then you realize that if you can build the body up to its optimum level, then really disease can't come into the body. And there's a lot of arguments, and of course, there's a lot of indoctrination with the idea that even healthy people can get sick. But it's my belief that if you build the person up to that optimum level, and the definition of health is lack of disease. So really, I don't believe that disease can really come into the body unless there's extraneous factors or something else that's affecting things. But that's my understanding, and that's how I believe nature works. And so the sickness industry, which of course, as you know, the pharmaceutical big pharma is into, they make all their money from sickness. And yes, I know a lot of other therapies and that do the same thing, but they're very well invested in sickness. And so
As
they're
are governments and so many private companies.
exactly. They're all paid off, of course, from the big industries. And so yeah, the governments, they subsidize a lot of the medicines which go towards all the rich people, which is the pharmaceutical industry. So really their business model is all about disease and sickness. And in actual fact, they have found, and I think everyone would agree with this if they look at this principle, that it's far better to maintain an illness than to cure it. And if you look at the amount of cures that come out of the pharmaceutical industry, they keep on saying that, they're finding a cure for this or finding a cure for that. But how many times have you ever heard of the pharmaceutical industry saying, "Oh, we've cured such and such"? It just doesn't happen. It
No, it doesn't
never
happen.
comes up. And I've been, I listen to the TV the same as everyone else, and I'm sure if they had some miraculous cure that over the last, how many years I've watched TV, I'm sure they would have announced it.
Yeah.
But they don't announce those things because they're not into cures at all. Because if you can maintain an illness over a person's lifetime and take them out of discomfort and get them to operate as normal as they can, then that's far better off from a profit point of view than any other way of dealing with it. And so people have to realize, I think a lot of people are very naive. They think that governments and pharmaceutical industries are all people that are doing the right thing by people.
Yeah.
And I think they have to understand that it's a business,
Yes.
and a business has to earn profits for shareholders. And they come up with the best business model in order to do that, even though that may not be in the public's best interest, but it's certainly in their best interest. So
Yeah.
I
Have you
think
heard of Dr. Rima Laibo? Do you know Rima? She came out about the codex about 20 years ago.
okay, no,
Anyway, she's been a doctor for 53 years. So in 1965, around the same time you were studying, she was in the States and she had her first day of med school. And you can imagine for a woman at that time, it was almost impossible. And she was sitting there, and on the first day in medicine, they said to the whole class, gentlemen, Drugs work in one way and one way only. They poison enzyme systems in your body. If we like the effects, we call that a benefit. If we don't like the effects, we call it a side effect. So she decided on her first day in med school, and she finished. She was a stubborn woman. So she finished med school, and in 53 years, I interviewed her at Christmas time. She has never once prescribed a pharmaceutical.
Wow.
And she's cured people all around the world of many things, but she does stuff like vitamin C infusions and lifestyle changes, and she's an awesome human.
Well,
Anyway.
it's strange, isn't it, how one person can react that way and do the right thing, whereas all the others sitting in the class just took that as just part of the negative aspects of medicine.
Yeah. And they go, cool, let's poison people's enzyme systems for the rest of their lives. It's bizarre.
That's right. So, I think we started out with this, what creates health? Because if we're not going to get into the sickness industry so much, and we want to look on the positive side, we need to understand that if we're going to be a therapist or just for people's general information, if health can be obtained even in our society, and no doubt there is a lot of shortcomings in the world we live in. I mean, we'd certainly be better out in the mountains where the fresh air and everything is, but even in our society, we can reach a level of health that I believe is sustainable and will protect us against illness. So, I mentioned earlier on about the seven doctors, as I call them. So I'd just like to name them just so that
Perfect.
people are aware of them. So our body will respond very positively when we place it in the right environment. And that environment includes sunshine, fresh air, and exercise, rest. Some of these things are opposite principles, but there's a balance obviously between the two. Water, pure water, particularly fasting is a very good therapy, and it relies on pure water to flush the toxins out of the cells. Also, I call it an alkaline diet, but a proper diet. Is important, with lots of fruits and vegetables, which are the alkalizers and cleansers, and also a positive mental attitude. They're the seven. And obviously, the benefit of that sort of environment helps to rid the body of toxic material, which really are the real causes of most illnesses, if we look at it. And if we go further than this into the germ theory, then we could look at germs being the cause of disease as opposed to the terrain. And the terrain is the toxic material. So, a fairly simple example here is that microorganisms are designed to clean up waste material. If you
Excuse me.
all right. If you look at the outside world, if you put a compost heap or you just put any sort of rubbish down on the ground, after a while it'll just dissolve and you think, oh, that's magical. My smelly rubbish that I put out there is all gone. Everything smells nice now and it's all sweet. And we probably, unless we think about it, we don't realize that the microbes have worked away and cleaned up humans' mess. And so that's one of their major benefits of having a microbe here. They actually feed on various toxic material, including certain chemicals and various things like that. And there's different kinds of microbes that do different things. So if that's their work on the outside, well, what do they do inside our bodies? And Beauchamp, who was a researcher in France, along with Pasteur, he maintained that the bacteria or the germs were actually created by the body. which is sounds a bizarre kind of a thing, but when you if you understand the fact that the body is faced with toxic waste as part of its processing, and obviously if we add a lot of junk food and other things to it, it's even further burden. But even in our normal process of living, we develop waste material that has to get rid of. You know, the body has many channels, you know, the bowels, the kidneys, the skin, the breathing. It's all part of the body's way of dealing with waste material. So it's very logical that if that gets up to a certain degree that the body's finding difficulty with it, then it calls on the help of bacteria to help, or my other microorganisms to help clean up the waste. And so, in as you know, in our naturopathic philosophy, we believe that the body's efforts to deal with toxins, such as creating a temperature, or you know, having diarrhea or sweating of some kind, and it's all part of, and phlegm coming out, you know, through the mucous membranes, the lungs, and so on. It's all part of the body's way of getting the waste out of the body. So if people start to focus on the real issues, which is the waste material, rather than looking at the bacteria or the microorganisms, because they're only there to do their job. And yes, we need a bit of protection in case there's an overpopulation of them. And so we do have T cells and many other natural killer cells and various means of being able to control these things. But in a way, it's all part of nature's plan. And so if you look at it that way, it's very positive, rather than looking at the fact that we need to be scared of anything. There's nothing much to be scared of at all. And I think people, if they understand how the body works, and this is part of the problem, of course, that I find, and you've probably found too, that very few people know even where their gallbladder is or their kidneys, let alone how it works.
Yes, and they certainly don't understand their immune systems.
No, that's right. So I think basic knowledge is a very good thing to enhance people's thinking, and because then when you have knowledge, fear begins to go out of the picture, because knowledge gives you the power and strength to be able to understand what goes on. And I think that's part of the trouble, is we've been fed so much indoctrination for decades, and people have swallowed it all, and it only took the telly just to push it out, push them over the brink, and that's all it was. But it's all misinformation and indoctrination, and people just have to understand that the body is not helpless. The body is capable of doing some amazing things if you only put it in the right at the right environment.
And with the germs, because we've been pushed for the last 3 years, about germs being the bad guys and, washing our hands and wearing masks. And I've got clients who I've been talking to monthly for 3 years who are still going to wear their masks this winter because they believe it's going to protect them. It stuns me that there is still that belief.
Even though you obviously tried to educate them, they still can't throw off that old indoctrination then.
And I think that's part of the whole doctors just being up on that pedestal, and they have been for 100 years. So, and I think they've been taught to be on that pedestal.
Oh yeah, well, I think this is, and this is another thing people probably aren't aware of, is that the pharmaceutical industry is very powerful, and they realize that they can use their power for changing people and creating control fairly easily, because they're obviously they influence, and in fact have basically the World Health Organization in their hand, because as we know, all the information that they rely on is really coming from the pharmaceutical industry. And so Not only has it captivated the World Health Organization, but people don't realize that even our watchdogs or the regulators in each country, as you know, we have the TGA here and the FDA in America, all of these organizations are dependent on their income from the pharmaceutical industry. But which are the very industries that are supposed to be protecting us against any bad drugs or untested drugs coming in. And the TGA in Australia, for instance, it was during the, I'm just trying to think of, it was about the 1990s, I think. Howard was in power, and he changed the TGA to receive all of its income, or 99% of it. I mean, the government gives them a little bit, but 99% of their income comes from the drug companies. Can you believe that? I
It's
mean,
crazy.
if people knew that, they would say, well, what have we got a watchdog for if the very people they're trying to watch are the people giving them all the income?
And the only thing that people like you and I see is that they're watching people like us and trying to regulate our industry because we're the dangerous ones.
Yep, that's
Even
right.
though idiopathic deaths is regularly between number three and six around the world in Western countries. So death caused generally by things that the doctors have prescribed.
Exactly. Yeah, the third leading death. Did you mention that?
Yeah,
Yes.
so it's usually between the third and sixth, depending on how they manipulate the numbers.
So people really need to start to see things for what they really are. They need to look behind the scenes. The average person probably is almost incapable because of the indoctrination, because they don't have any desire to just look behind the curtain. And that's all we're encouraging. We're not saying they have to become a professor of blah, blah, blah to understand it. All they need to do is look at a few simple things, which we've been talking about, such as, the profits that come from the sickness industry, the fact that the watchdogs or the TGA now receive all their information, all their money from the pharmaceutical industry. So there's a conflict of interest. People just
Absolutely.
need to see these simple things. It's not hard to.
And good old Billy Gates, so he put 55 million, I'm sure he put much more than this, but $55 million into vaccines for the last 3 years. It turned into $550 million profit. And now he's saying, oops, they don't stop transmission or transfection or death or disability or,
Oh, well, I
anything.
suppose he's owning up a little bit just to protect himself, perhaps. I don't know, but
Yes. Now it's very interesting. And I think that's probably been the good thing about the last 3 years is that so many people have peeked behind the curtain who never have before. But to me, it feels like the World Health Organization, they're like marching forward at the speed of light now, trying to pass rules. So you've looked at the international health regulations?
Well, not in detail, but I know that they're trying to pass rules so that they can automatically then, whenever there's a so-called emergency, and I mean, they can label anything it as an emergency, can't they? And
Yes.
once
And
they
General
do that.
Tedros, he has just been given another 5 years as head of the World Health Organization.
All right.
And he, of course, is a general. He's not a doctor, he's a general. And it's a very interesting time. If these international health regulations get passed, then the 196 member nations of WHO won't have a choice. It will be mandatory.
That's right. Their sovereign ship is gone then.
And we feel like we don't. Do you feel like we don't have a lot of freedom here in Australia?
Oh yes, I mean, it's really, I mean, I suppose there's worse countries than us, and I suppose a lot of people think, oh well, everything's fine, when everything is not really fine, but they prefer to think that way because they don't have to do anything to change anything. Then, if they thought, I think it's only going to be a crisis that really wakes a lot of people up,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I totally agree. And if we sign, which we will sign these international health regulations. I think I interviewed James Roguski, I think in the first or second week of January, and he's doing like two Zooms every single day, and will do for the rest of his life if he has to. Like he's like, nah, we've got to stop these IHR regulations. So he is just working his tuchus off, educating people because they're removing things from the World Health Organization. Like it won't be a suggested body anymore. It will be mandatory. They're removing all the words like it will be suggested to countries shall. There will be billions of dollars worth of fines for countries who don't follow the international health regulations. Like it's really quite phenomenal, the words. Oh, and they want to remove the words dignity. So dignity will not be part of the World Health Organization requirements anymore.
Why would countries submit to such terrible things that they're going to be fined if they don't follow it? I mean,
Yes.
why would you agree to that?
Yeah. And before our last election, both ScoMo and Albo were asked whether they would support these things. And they both said, yes, of course, we support the World Health Organization. We needed more input from there last time. We needed more. You know, they both laid down and said, yeah, of course we will.
Goodness.
It's very interesting. And especially since obviously these politicians that people have been following for 3 years and for the rest of decades, but particularly the last 3 years, I never even knew we ha had health ministers so much before. You know, these people earning twice as much as the premiers.
You never heard of them too much, did you?
No. And they've taken over all over the world. It's been very, very interesting.
And the
And I
stuff.
don't think they understand health. They've been so indoctrinated in their industries as well that let's assume they're not just evil people. Let's assume they're trying to do good out there. But it has just been, it's like one level of information has come down and everyone around the world has just gone with it. It's bizarre.
I think again, the indoctrination of people over decades of the medical model has really put them in a position of power, because not only the people within a country tend to agree with that medical model, but the parliamentarians do too. So we sort of think, oh, maybe they're paid off, and maybe they are. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but at the same time, you can see how they would all fall in line. Because it's something they believe in anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think 99% of our politicians here in Australia have no idea about the immune system. They truly believe that it comes from injectables, and that if you don't get the injectables, then you do not deserve to be a citizen of a country. And how many politicians actually said that in the last 3 years?
Yes.
There's been abuse from many, many politicians for people who believe in their own immune system.
So I guess they've done their job well. I think it was Rockefeller. I think he was the one that originally took over the medical system, and
In about 1913.
he poisoned the whole system with his own ideas, knowing that down the track these plans would eventually create the necessary controls and so on, the people that he wanted people to go through. And so it's just continued on, and they've done their job well, really. We're trying to fight something that obviously has already been accomplished many years ago, and it's difficult now for people to just accept that. Health is not bought in a bottle. Health is not something that you inject into people's arm. It's a process of people obeying or coming into harmony with nature's laws. And if you violate those laws, that's when the problem exists, not some magical or invisible virus or something that's out there. That's inconsequential. It's your it's your violation of the of health principles that create
Yes.
the illnesses. And people need to see that that's where it is. It's not because all you're doing is you're creating fear. And fear, it's interesting, and this is what should get people thinking, that fear in itself is a violation of a principle of health. And so if the right people were doing the right thing, they would not be creating fear because they know full well that fear creates disease.
Yes.
And so immediately you have a system that's trying to tell you what to do, and they're saying you've got to fear something. That'd be the very people I wouldn't want to be listening to.
Yeah.
And I think people should realize that there's no doubt that stress and violation of mental principles will create as much disease as anything else.
Yeah. Totally. And, those people pushing the fear are the ones also benefiting from it.
That's the question, and
Yeah.
you just follow the money. And again, that's just lifting the curtain and having a look. As I said, you don't have to be a professor to understand all these things. They're very simple principles. If
Yeah.
you look at where the money is, what are they portraying to make way for their remedies or whatever they've got there? All these things make so much sense. I mean, you don't have to be that bright to see it.
Yeah. And people still push the whole gene philosophy. Well, it's in my genes. Of course, I've got high blood pressure. It's in my genes. Of course, I've got diabetes. It's in my genes of, there's cancer. And people believe because they've been being, that's been pushed, what, since the 60s or the 70s or something. I think, is it Bruce Lipton? He was one of the first people. Do you know Bruce Lipton? He's an American and he was one of the first people to show the splitting of the cells on a petri dish and showed that if he genetically modified something over here, it happened over there. But he also showed that if he changed the environment, the cells changed.
Okay.
So he believed in epigenetics before he knew it didn't have a name when he
Right.
was doing that. So he's been doing the whole power of belief and power of positivity and positivity, that sort of thing for like 60 years. Like
Yeah, well,
he was a very young man in a lab.
yeah, well, there's a branch of science that's demonstrating what we're saying, isn't it? That if your body's healthy, then the genetic structure of the body doesn't worry it too much.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very important thing, and it just illustrates that health is where we should be looking at rather than disease.
And where does the whole osteopathy and chiropractic fit into that? So,
Yeah, well,
because I do structural kinesiology, so I've got my sort of idea.
okay. Well, I believe that like health is has many aspects to it. Yes, if we're living in a good environment, as I've said, sunshine, fresh air, all those kind of things are important. But naturally, if we have an injury, and injuries can be just a local injury that you've done fairly recently, or it can be a series of small things where you're violating your body's mechanics, and after a period of time, that causes stress and strain on the mechanical system. And of course, the free flowing of energy, blood flow, nerve flow is a very important aspect to health because, as you know, the spine is the part of the central nervous system that sends out little messages via the nerves to all the organs and parts of the body. So it's obvious that mechanical problems can then interfere with that flow of energy and cause problems with organs, which will then reflect on your health. So, yeah, it's all part of that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce Dew is a trainer in kinesiology, or was many, many years ago. And he told a story once about teaching his students how to do 14 muscle balances, so and big 14 muscles that would, structurally help the body. So because he was teaching kinesiology at the time, he'd get his students out there and they'd do a 14 muscle balance. And then as a chiropractor, they'd come into him and he was expecting that all of those muscles would be corrected. But what he found was, and he didn't realize the connection with this because he was their main practitioner, they weren't really speaking to the little students out there who were doing their thing. They'd come in and then they'd talk about their kids or their dog or their parents or their life or their job or their friends and the stuff going on. All of a sudden, their body would go out again because the emotional gear changed their structures. So he would find that he would have to do some rebalancing, even though they had just had a balance in the other room. Because once again, all those aspects of health, if we're not clearing some of that emotional gear as well, then we can be keep pulled back out of balance again.
Sure. It shows the integration of the body, doesn't it? That
Yeah.
system is dependent to some degree on another system, and you change one part and it starts to change the rest. So
Yes.
it's all important. So yeah, it's just again, they're simple principles, but people have no idea. They don't realize that sitting in a chair day after day, it's one of the worst inventions that we ever made.
Yeah, sitting is
And
inflammatory.
yeah, it's not good. We were like the other animals. We were meant to be on the floor or on the ground. And yeah, once you get to a certain age, that becomes difficult. But if we had maintained a lot of this lifestyle habit from when we were young, we would be nice and flexible, and we wouldn't be having problems with our joints and muscles like we are now if we
Yeah.
did all that. So again, it comes back to just understanding nature's design for our body, and working with those principles.
Yeah. So what are your besides those seven keys to health,
Yes.
what are the biggest things you've been doing to keep yourself healthy over the last few years?
You mean aside from them, or part? Because
Yeah,
really.
so because I haven't had anything for the last 3 years, and so many of my clients are coming in saying, "Oh, I finally succumbed." And I think, did you really? Or was your body just ready for a detox? Like, do you do any, so you do fasting. Do you
Yes.
do anything like juice fasts or like what type of things that people can really tangibly do? Because I believe in intermittent fasting as well.
Yeah, okay.
Or do you more do like the 3-day fasts or
Well,
kicking the phagocytosis?
yeah, as far as fasting is concerned, I think it's a good general principle to do, because we tend to overload our bodies with a lot, well, not only too much food, but sometimes the wrong kinds of food. So, and that's the difficulty in living in civilization, I suppose, is that not all the foods that we eat are perfectly healthy for us. And so I always believe that we need to be better this year than I was last year. So a lot of people don't believe in self-development, but I think that we need to keep taking stock of ourselves, and we need to be moving forward rather than backwards.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the principles I firmly believe. I've found personally that I tend to overeat more than I should. And so by using diversions, going out and doing some interesting work in a workshop, or in the garden or something like that, we need to occupy our mind on things away from the house or away from food. Because I'm
Yes.
retired now, so I need to do that. Other people are going to work, and that's not so bad, but then they have morning tea and afternoon tea, with biscuits and cakes and things. So they're still doing the wrong thing. But so I think that if we can start using restriction, because they always say that the pathway to health is the pathway of self-denial. That's an old saying. We need to deny ourselves. Now, aren't into that too much. They come home from work and they say, I deserve this or I deserve that. That's not going to get you into a positive pathway, because all the things we think we deserve are usually not good for us.
Yeah.
So we need to practice self-denial, and fasting is part of that. And yes, I do occasional one-day fasts, and then I've built over the years, I've built it up. When I've done 2-day fasts and then I've done 3-day fasts, I keep building it up. My advice to most people is just miss one meal and just have water, and because it's hard to just go on a full, 2 or 3 day fast. And I think that any changes that you make that are too big are probably not sustainable.
Yeah.
And so it's the same with the diet. I tell people to don't stop, keep eating what you're eating, just double your fruit and vegetables in your diet, because you've got to give people positive things. People don't like anything taken away, but if you
Exactly.
give them extra things, they're happy with that. And then after they've got used to doubling the fruit and veggies, I say, okay, double it again, because you're starting off. With most people, they only have about 10% of their diet is fresh fruit and vegetables. This has
Yes.
been brought out in a number of surveys. So if you double it, initially it's only going to 20% and then double it again to 40%. By that stage, they're starting to suffer from bloatedness and they're eating too much food, because you're only adding more things and not taking anything away. And then it gets to a point where they have to take something away. And you let them decide on what those things are.
Yeah.
So it's the same with fasting. I think if you just say miss one meal and then have plenty of water, then maybe the following week or a few weeks' time, miss two meals and just build it up slowly that way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've been doing the HCG program with people for about 15 years, and that is really good for training people to do fasting days after day afterwards, because one of the philosophies of Dr. Simeon was to have a, and he died like, I don't know, 45, 50 years ago now, but he was the first doctor I ever heard of talk about the brain physiology in relation to weight. So the hypothalamus in the brain being one of the controllers of weight gain and weight loss. And the hypothalamus is what releases HCG, which lays down brown fat in and around the major organs of the body in order to keep people protected and safe when they are in a survival state. So, and it's amazing because the HCG helps to shift people's brown fat so people feel like they're shrinking from the outside in, which is amazing. And then they maintain it but because it actually eliminates fat cells, like, fasting can, because there's not many things that actually eliminate fat cells in our body. And if they've just shrunk, they're waiting for the next beer, pizza, cheese, crackers, whatever. Whereas if you actually eliminate them, and one of his things is a full day of fasting and having a nice big bit of protein and something fresh like an apple or a tomato for some enzymes, with it at nighttime. And it sort of trains people to do that for the day, which is really nice as a
Yeah,
lifetime.
I think that's a good philosophy to do things slowly, make changes slowly rather than quick.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I like your the distraction concept. My brother, he's a counselor. We've been chatting a bit lately. My other brother's a doctor, and he's believes everything the last 3 years, just saying. But anyway, so my brother, the counselor, he's developed a process for people finding those missing parts of themselves, because we get so stuck into our world or our, weight loss journey or our health journey, we forget to do the fun things in life. What do we want to do? Do I want to be someone who plays guitar? Do I want to be someone who enjoys walking? Do I want to be someone who enjoys playing 10-pin bowls? Do I want to be someone who enjoys going on bike rides with friends? And we forget these things when we're so busy in our day-to-day stuff that we forget that life's meant for living.
That's right. It's not meant for grinding away day after day, working or, solving problems and that sort of thing only. We
No.
need to have the lighter side. And that's part of health too, isn't it, to
It is.
get that side of life.
And I believe one of the words that these international health regulations are trying to remove from the suggestions for health on the World Health Organization is happiness. Happiness not required for health.
Not
So
required.
they're just, well, it's one of the regulation changes they're looking at doing, which just makes you think, what are they thinking? Well,
Well,
we know what they're thinking because we don't need dignity, we don't need happiness. Very interesting.
here we are. You know, these are principles that people need to see, because if as I said to you, if everything is going along the right path, I mentioned fear before. That should be a signal to people that there's something wrong with whoever's pushing these ideas. And here you've mentioned another one, that they're taking happiness out of the equation of what constitutes health. That, I mean, anyone with any brain can see that happiness is part of our formula for living.
Yeah. And I looked it up the other day when I was chatting to a doctor. As of 2022, we had 28% of Aussies who had been prescribed antidepressants in the last 2 years, over and above the normal amount. So we are just a poor little unhappy nation at the moment.
Well, that's another thing that people need to see, that there's always symptoms of discontent and problems within a society when you see things like that happening. And just lately, we've had a lot of young people doing all sorts of crimes. You probably heard about
Absolutely.
on the
Very
news.
interesting.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, maybe it's happening, maybe it's not. But the people next door, someone broke in 2 nights ago and stole their car. It's all these things are a product of society when things aren't going right. We've had long-term illness, chronic illness for a long time, and people ignore that and they just think, oh, that's part of life. Well, it's not. It's
It
not supposed.
wasn't 60 years ago. I think there's a statistic that some Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gives, which was back in 1965,
Yes.
a small percentage of people, I can't remember what it was, like less than 15% of people had chronic illness, and now over 65% of people have an autoimmune disease where our immune system is attacking ourselves. Like, so our immune systems are just so overloaded with
Yes.
all of this. Whether or not it's genetic modification, whether or not it's the crap in our water, whether it's the crap in the skies, whether it's the pollution, whether it's our thoughts, our anger, our fear, our frustration, our anxiety, that our bodies are attacking ourselves. It's phenomenal.
Look at the amount of injections now that an average person gets in their lifetime. I mean, it's something like 30 or 40 vaccinations.
Yeah. And each one can have several components to it.
Yeah, like
Yep.
mercury and
Yeah.
aluminium and all those kind of things. And
Yeah.
so there's so many areas that are affecting our health
And you
and
remember 20 years ago, it was common knowledge that aluminium was linked with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And then they swapped over with the children injectables from mercury in the base to aluminium in the base. And then it fell off the radar that aluminium was linked in with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And also, do you remember about 20 years ago, if someone had the flu jab, they were not allowed into hospitals to see someone who had an immune compromised body. So people weren't recommended to go see someone who had cancer or who was doing chemo radiation if they'd had a flu jab within 30 days. And now it's like, no, everyone do it, walk around, whatever. So they've
Yeah.
known these injectables have been leaky for a long, long time. And this is a whole new kettle of fish with so many young, healthy people being injected.
Another thing, mentioning the injectables there, that should be brought up, and again, this is looking behind the curtain, but people don't even know we have a TGA, let alone know how to even source the information. I mean, it's pretty easy, but because they put out a weekly health report. But anyway, a very fundamental thing here is that it normally takes about up to 10 years for a vaccination to be approved, because they have to do long-term studies. They have to do studies on pregnant women, and children and all that sort of thing. So it takes many, many years to go through a whole process. They've got to do animal studies and so on and so forth. And because in the earlier days, the vaccination companies, the big pharma, they used to be capable of being fined, because that's why they did all these health studies, to make sure that they wouldn't be that people wouldn't sue them, because they or their child got sick. Now, this is well known. In the 1980s, they approached the American government and said that vaccinations aren't very profitable to us, and because people are suing us, and they say, oh well, look, no vaccine is perfectly good anyway. I mean, we save a lot of people, but naturally there's some people that react to it. But anyway, they got the government to stop any suing of any of their products
I think that
to.
was Ronald Reagan about 1986.
Yes, that's right. So anyway, what I'm saying is that now the vaccinations are brought out. They don't have to go through the full length of program as a normal drug does. They can virtually bring it out, particularly during a so-called crisis, and they don't have to virtually do any testing whatsoever. And that's what has happened with this COVID thing, because the TGA have not approved this vaccination. A lot of people think they have fully approved it. It's been provisionally approved,
Yes.
which means that we're the guinea pigs, that the human beings are part of their trials. And the other thing is, they don't realize that it's a genetic modifying drug. It's not a vaccine at all. And they had to put it under the title of a vaccine, because they know that people accept vaccines fairly well now. But
No, it's
if
an
they had
entirely new technology.
a, yeah, is that that's right. So if they had to put it out and said, we've got this genetic modifying drug, we're going to genetically modify your DNA or RNA and all this sort of thing, people would be horrified, that they were going to do that. So this is a deception of the we I mentioned before about the use of fear. The other thing that people should realize is that these people are deceiving us, and they're using their deception through our watchdog, because they know that the watchdog or the regulators are the ones that are supposed to filter out anything that's a problem to the people. But because they're paying all the money to our watchdog,
Yeah.
they're able to
And to
get.
our governments,
Yeah.
both of the governments, I can't remember how much it was, but Pfizer gave both of them over $1 million towards the last election costs.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
So,
Malcolm Roberts was talking
yeah.
about that one day.
So people should just lift the curtain and have a look at these simple things. I mean,
Yeah.
we're not, you and I are not trying to pull people wool over people's eye. We're not trying to force our philosophy on them. All we're saying is, if people, they don't have to look at all the scientific stuff. All
Yeah.
they need to do is to look at a few simple things, and they would see that these organizations that are pushing all this are really not, there's no good going to come out of it,
Yeah.
because the signs are there.
Yeah. There's a couple of great websites that I follow, and even if I just look at the headlines, it gives you a bit of an overview of what's going on the planet health-wise. So one of them is cmnnews.org. That's COVID Medical Network News.org. It's got there's a guy called Dr. Jerry Brady. He helps put together all sorts of information in there. Obviously, I love Robert F. Kennedy Jr., so his Children's Health Defense. I think that's, they talk about all sorts of lawsuits and things that are on the go around America predominantly. But when I was on there one day and I wanted to find out where we were currently with HPV, I had a client in who'd been damaged by that particular jab. And I had a look, and funnily enough, the thing that showed up in his was about an Australian study with infertility that had gone up in the first, maybe it was the first 8 years of those injectables. They were already seeing an increase in infertility here in Australia. So there's so, and how many people are having an issue? I think before these current injectables, which have messed with people's fertility, we were already at one in five couples were having issues falling pregnant. So we know that men's sperm and testosterone have halved a couple of times in the last 60 years. And we're not having healthy little eggs in our poor little darling women either. We're having a really tough time, replacing humans on the planet at the moment. And these particular injectables, the nanolipid particles, are known to go into the sperm and the eggs and the reproductive organs.
So maybe they're not only trying to kill a few people off, they're trying to stop any future population of the world to
Well,
keep
that would
the.
be my theory because, the documents have come out from Pfizer. I think there were 44,000 people in their trial, about 22,000 on each side. And there were 1,200 people who died within the first month. So the percentage of people just in the trial, and they put it down to heart attacks and stuff, but you just go, really? How come we didn't know that? And we know why, because they tried to hide it for 55 years or something.
There's only a court's decision that made them reveal it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do we have to go to all that trouble to get an organization that we're supposed to trust to give us their information? What have they
And
got to hide? That's another thing, isn't it? People should look at what, why are they trying to not? It's the same with all the contracts that have been given to all the various governments. You've probably heard about that over in Europe, where the,
Oh, it was given blacked out. So they got a copy and everything's redacted. Yeah.
100 pages were blacked out. I
So I
mean,
think
what's
they've got a couple of awesome politicians over there in there's some really good ones in Netherlands who, of course, is copying it left, right, and center because of their poor farmers. And there's a great guy in Hungary who keeps standing up. There's like a handful of them who are just dynamos who keep standing up, and they're standing up to the World Economic Forum and World Health Organization and the European Parliament and just saying, I don't think so. So thank goodness we've got some good humans on the planet who are screaming from the house, from the rooftops.
Well, without them, you wouldn't have much of a chance of getting the information out for people. So,
Yeah, exactly.
I
Exactly.
mean, the information now is. It's so strong that hopefully a lot of the trials that are going on at the moment, that lawyers are pushing, I'm sure they're going to have a lot more success than they had earlier on because they've got so much, they're armed with so much information now, studies and things that are beyond, reproach. They're
Well, you say that, but I listen to our politicians talking to the guys in TGA and they deny them over and over again. It's phenomenal listening to them in the Senate estimates. I just listen going, are you kidding me? It's phenomenal. So exactly like we were chatting about before we started, there's science and scientism these days. There's real, beautiful, fantastic science going on. But people are still pushing the belief system or whatever it is that has been disproven. Like it's phenomenal.
I don't know whether you know, but any most of the court actions, and I heard this directly from someone that works in the court. They say that when they look at scientific evidence, they're only interested in the scientific evidence that the government has and the medical system is pushing. And we know that's
Oh,
only
wow.
coming from the World Health Organization. So
Yeah.
you've got a branch of science, and a lot of it, I don't believe, I think a lot of it's concocted, But that's science, and that's the only science that that our lawyers or our courts will uphold. They're
Yeah,
not
right. Because
ignorant.
I went to see Dr. Peter McCullough. You know, there was that he did that tour around Australia recently, and I saw him and the three other colleagues down the Gold Coast a few weeks ago. And Dr. the other anyway, I can't remember his name will come to me. But another guy was saying that he has loved his medicine. He has loved his industry for the last 30 years. It wasn't Peter saying this, this was another one. And he was saying, and then when this all started, because he's a specialist in respiratory and something or other. So in the first 6 months of COVID, he was like trying all sorts of things and finding solutions. And him and Peter McCullough were chatting and they were coming up with all sorts of solutions. He was putting it out there thinking, the whole world is going to thank me.
Yes.
And instead, they had zero support and they were shunned by reporters and other doctors. They were shunned by the CDC and the FDA with just absolutely total disrespect and callousness. And they were called fringe doctors, you know, two of the top doctors in their fields in the world. And they both were, and this particular one, whose name I can't remember. But he was saying that then he started reading, and at the time he believed in like The Lancet and all of these top level journals, and he believed that they were the source of truth in medicine. And it wasn't until after he was being hammered and manipulated and ignored and denigrated that he started reading. Apparently, a couple of the people who have been in charge of The Lancet over the years have left in such disgust because of the amount of science that is fabricated, because of the amount of science that is paid for by Big Pharma and it's not factual, because of the amount of science that is just pushing an agenda. So there's been several books written by the people who have run The Lancet over the years who have just left in disgust because they could not trust a thing that came out of it. So that was a really interesting discussion coming from him, but also from Peter McCullough. They are both eminent scientists and doctors in their fields and are both in court. You know, are they going to keep their medical licenses?
Well, here again, and you brought up a very good point that if we're looking at anomalies or we're looking at pieces of information, which you don't, again, you don't need to be a professor to understand, this is the first time in human history that I know of, anyway, where there's a huge amount of scientists that are taking an opposite view to what the governments and the chief medical officers and of each country are doing. It
Yes.
seems that there's an agenda being pushed, and nothing else, because we've also got an incredible amount of what's it called, where people are stopped from saying things,
Oh,
censorship.
yes, absolutely.
So I've never seen, and I'm sure even if people don't think the way we do and they're all happy with everything, I think that if people can see that there's something wrong there too, that why is there so much censorship? You know, because freedom now of medical and science, because science exists on freedom, because, you know, if you have one scientist saying something and another one says something else, they're supposed to come together and try and iron things out, because that's how science works. But
Yes.
you can't make science work where you have a bunch of people believing in something and a whole range, you know, thousands of other people believing something else, and they're not allowed to say anything
Yeah.
against the other ones.
And
That's
how many
never
countries
happened.
around the world are creating laws to
Yeah.
prevent it
But
and calling people terrorists who don't believe in their governments? It's bizarre. It is
yes.
totally bizarre.
It's not a health, again, if you're looking at healthy situations, you can't have healthy situations where you've got people who are shut up, can't say anything, even though they may be at the top of their field.
Yeah.
I mean, even people who are not, like, I remember Pauline Hanson was pulled up at one stage on TV. She said, something about, you know, the vaccines and that. And she said, I think people should do their own studies. And she
Yes.
was hauled over the coals for that. She said, are you a medical doctor? And she said, no, but I do have an opinion. Aren't I allowed to have an opinion? And people said, well, if you're not a medical doctor, you shouldn't be telling people to do their own studies. You should, you know, what they're wanting people to do is to be obedient to the system, you
Yeah.
see. And
Well,
so,
that the guy who started IMOP, the Informed Medical Options Party, Michael,
yeah.
whatever his name is, his wife, she used to have a catchphrase with her videos on YouTube saying, investigate before you're vaccinated. She's never allowed to practice again.
Really?
Yeah,
She's a doctor.
she's a naturopath,
On naturopath.
but she, and she didn't tell people not to. She
No.
just used to give an alternate perspective and ask people to investigate it.
Exactly. What's wrong with that? That's a
Yeah.
healthy situation, isn't it?
And you'd think, as a mama lion and a daddy bear, you want to look after your kids and you want to do the best for them and make sure you're doing the right thing. But
Yeah. No,
misinformation and disinformation.
we're living in a world where only the authorities can have any answer. You're not allowed to disagree with anything, and so we're fast becoming a dictatorship, aren't we? We're
Yeah.
not the same democratic country we used to be.
Yes.
It appears on the outside it is, but the way it's practiced is totally different.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because the amount, for example, Pfizer gave to both Liberals and Labor before the last was it was a little bit more to Libs, so maybe they thought they were going to get in. But it was interesting the amount. So like 1.2 and 1.4 million or something like that. And that's, from 2 years ago, obviously. It's been a while. But
And the amount of people that are suing, people don't realize that there's a lot of people now suing the government because a lot of the contracts were written in such a way they couldn't sue the
yeah.
companies. So they're suing the government now. It came out in the Sydney Morning Herald that 10,000 Australians are suing the government for damages from the vaccine.
Good. Because I
So.
think we're up over 140,000 people on the TGA list, and they're admitting to what? A handful of actual deaths. So we've got 1,000 doctors who have said, yes, this is caused because of the injectables, and 1,000 doctors have been told they're wrong. And so the TGA and the mainstream media get to confidently say, no, it's only been, it's safe and effective. We've only had 6 deaths, 10 deaths, whatever it is. It's just nuts. Yeah.
They use a different criteria, obviously, to measure their effects from the vaccine, but
Yeah,
that's
totally. And Peter McCullough, he was saying that because he's been doctor for like 35 years or something, and he's mainly a cardiologist and kidney specialist. So therefore, when the myocarditis and pericarditis, and he was vaccinating everyone in his clinic for the first 3 months until he started having people come in with all the side effects. And that's when he started looking into it and going, holy moly. And he started seeing early onset dementia, and he started seeing issues with, because it was mainly dealing with the heart. He was saying, like, normally for him to see someone under 18 with myocarditis, it might be one a year. And this was happening like every week. So he's been very much standing up, particularly about the, it's been interesting, hasn't it, watching the real scientists discussing their area of expertise, like Ryan Cole as a pathologist, and listening to him for a year and a half, and Roger Hodgkinson from Canada, he's another pathologist, and some of these guys have just been, yeah, screaming from the rooftops and get feeling like they're getting nowhere, the poor things.
It must be frustrating for them to see the damage that's being done and they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, totally. But that's where, like, unless I'm finding that because some of these heavy metals that are lodging in the bodies, those heavy metals seem to be attracting EMFs, radiation, 5G, 4G, 3G. Phone energy, and some of the guys that I'm working with, Shimon Janowitz and Matt Taylor and Dr. David Nixon, and they've all experimented and have found that when things are near modems and near electromagnetic radiation, it's actually growing some of the ingredients in the jabs faster. And Karen Kingston, she talks about the patents, about, and in the patents, it actually talks about self-assembling technology. So the more we can do to keep our bodies healthy, happy, and clean, and the sort of things that I'm finding, because I do lifeblood screening, the things that I'm finding do clean things up is, and I am going to talk supplements just for a sec, but vitamin C, because it's a fat and water-soluble antioxidant. Fasting definitely helps to clear some of this stuff out of the body. Nutrients like nattokinase helps to break down some of the clots. The redox molecule signals can help to clean up the mitochondria. There's lots of really good herbs for the heart. Lots of really beautiful herbs for the heart. So there, and there's a cheap and there's a cheap formula from Chinese medicine that I can't remember its Chinese formula, but it's basically called a cardiac formula. And people, because so many people are getting the fevers and palpitations and anxiety and pumping and feeling like they've got an elephant on their chest. So I get them to take three or four of these, and within about 10 minutes, they feel like their heart has settled down. And whether or not that's psychosomatic helping with the fear, I don't know. But does it matter if we're helping people's hearts anyway? There's lots of good supplements. People shouldn't feel like there's nothing that can be done.
No, I think that's the important thing, and I think that anyone that's a bit concerned should at least get a D-dimer test,
Oh.
which, as you
The
know,
micro blood clotting, yeah. If they can
I
get their doctor to do it,
think
because a lot of pathologists are refusing D-dimer tests now.
really.
Yeah. It's nuts.
So yeah, I think there are some people waking up, fortunately, because they've had one of their loved ones have, had bad effects and things like that. So I think there's an increasing number of people changing, and a lot of those people must be very, living a very stressful life too, because if they've had the vaccine and they realize that it is harmful, so it's good you mentioned those things, because people should realize that. It's they can do something. I mean,
Oh, and like EMF protection, I've never worn so much in my life. Because I sort of figure, well, I know the stuff is shedding as well. Because I know how I feel. If I have a day where I treat, say, three or four people who've had the jabs, then I know I'm in worse pain that night. So I know I've got to up all, eat plenty of greens and have some good protein and drink plenty of purified water and apple cider vinegar or lemon juice or whatever it is to try to re-alkalize my body, because I've looked at my blood recently after, and it was not, it was, there was stuff in there I did not see 2 years ago, shall I say that?
Okay. Yeah, another good formula is lemon, the whole lemon, including the rind. As you know, I think what is it? Hydroxychloroquine
Yes, hydroxychloroquine, yep.
is in naturally in a lot of things, such as the lemons and grapefruit.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, the whole lemon, ginger, and I'm just trying to think of the other one, that has this, it's in curries,
Oh, turmeric or the
turmeric.
curcuminoids in
Turmeric,
turmeric,
that's it.
yep.
So that the mixture of those three is a good one, and it probably helps to break up the spike proteins and things like that that are
Yeah. And
with
I
it.
think the spike proteins are the health ranger, Mike Adams. He also just recently, there was a study that came out that talked about the combination of bromelains. So, what's that in pineapple and pawpaw? Pineapple, anyway.
Yeah,
So,
pineapple.
bromelains and N-acetylcysteine, the combination of those, they also found help break up the spike proteins. And licorice root also has a really good effect on it as well. Now, whether or not that's through, because licorice works on the gut, it works on the adrenal, real licorice, not the long stuff filled with sugar and weed. People think that's licorice, so licorice also has a really positive effect. So does the dandelions. I think it was dandelion leaf really helps us to eliminate some of these toxins through the kidneys. And you can do a lot of these as teas, and things like parsley tea as well can be really beneficial to help the kidneys eliminating toxins.
Coriander's another one that takes out heavy metals
Heavy
and
metals. And also, there's a doctor called Young Mi in South Korea, and she's been working to try to find solutions as well. And she's done a lot of people with foot baths and then taken the water from the foot bath, put it under the microscope, and saw whether she's seeing the vaccine toxins in there. And she has. So we know that foot baths with salt, with Epsom salts, with bicarb soda, with apple cider vinegar, whatever it is, as long as you use a chunk of it, and it's probably a good cupful in a foot bath, that also helps to draw some of the toxins out of the body.
Yeah, any way you can increase the body's ability to throw out toxins, I think is all got to be a plus.
And obviously your things like zeolites, fully purified zeolites, and humic acid, fulvic acid, stuff like that. But the colloidal gold has been interesting too. Dr. David Nixon did an experiment where one of the toxins that he found under the microscope, I think it was Pfizer, but whatever, but he put colloidal gold on it, and it started to disintegrate over a couple of hours, and then it stopped disintegrating because the colloidal gold must have run out, and then it reassembled again. Then he put some more colloidal gold on it, and I knew nothing about colloidal gold. They've been trying to experiment, apparently, for that particular technology. The colloidal silver doesn't do anything. Many of the ingredients don't do anything, but colloidal gold is something that it would be good to have in people's, knowledge bank as well. There's a particular technology in the jabs that it seems to be, well, it's the only thing so far that the scientists I'm working with have actually found that dissolve it, which is
You
cool.
mean the spike protein you're talking about?
No. So you've, okay, shall we go there? So you've heard the thing over the last 18 months where people are actually showing up as having MAC addresses in their bodies after the jabs?
Yes.
Yep. So this is that. So there
Okay.
was a young guy, because David only lives about a kilometer from me, and he's built himself a Faraday cage in the last few months. So he wanted to know whether or not this was true. So this young guy came in, and he has been very unwell since his jabs, really lots of neurological pain, brain not working, all sorts of things. His blood wasn't too bad because he was very aware of the excess deaths in young men. So he's been taking lots of supplements. So his blood didn't look too bad. But on the mobile phone, he was actually showing there's an app you can get called a Bluetooth scanner. And this guy was showing to have two Bluetooth devices in him. He went into the Faraday cage. The Bluetooth devices disappeared. He came back out, the Bluetooth devices reappeared. So then David gave him 25 milligrams of ivermectin, 50,000 units of vitamin D, and a cup full of colloidal gold. An hour later, because David was the one who actually did the experiment dissolving the chips underneath the microscope. So an hour later, the guy's brain felt the best he had ever felt, and 4 hours later, the MAC addresses had disappeared. And
Amazing.
I find that miraculous and freaking awesome science. So David has just been, because he's never going to practice again because he gave a couple of exemptions, a couple of thousand exemptions to pregnant people and practitioners and vaccine damaged people and stuff. And so he has just been working
Called
like a,
over the coast, didn't he?
oh man, he is fighting with everyone, ARPA and TGA, and he did a big talk at Nerang a few weeks ago that went for 3 hours. And he's got neurological damage himself. And but he did this big presentation, and he's just doing awesome work. And he can't not. He knows this is now his life's work. He's been a doctor for over 25 years. He's about my age, about 55, 56, something like that. And he feels free. He actually feels free from the medical system now. He feels like he's finally doing what he's meant to be doing on the planet, which is sad but great.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, he's definitely picked. He got jabbed himself, so he thought he was doing the right thing, and he was jabbing his clients, and his family's all fully jabbed, and he looks at their blood regularly and thinks, oh, well, let's just keep cleaning them up, doing what we can.
What
He's
do
doing
you
a lot
think?
of fasting himself. He knows that fasting, improves his, and he'll do 2, 3, 4 days, whatever he can manage. on black coffee and water. Yeah.
What do you think of the idea that there's possibly DNA changes with the vaccine? Have you heard
Well,
anything about that?
I have heard lots and lots about that. And the thing is that, as we know, even on our side of the fence, there's heaps of misinformation and disinformation. I've listened to many of Dr. Anna Mahalsia's videos, and she was talking with Dr. Alana Freeland. Sorry, she's not a doctor, she's a naturopath, but she was pulling the veil across about chemtrails about 30 years ago. And she's now written another couple of books, Geoengineered Transhumanism, which I think is the third in a series of books. But she talks a lot about the technology that's been built by DARPA, and that sort of thing over the last 20 years. Dr. Shimon Janowitz, he has been a Magellan's, he's looked at Magellan's and chemtrails for a long time, and he's looked at a lot of the patents associated with these jabs. And we talked a bit about that in our recent interview. And he was saying that he doesn't know which patents are real, and once again, which ones they're just throwing out there to make everyone confused about what's really happening. But what Karen Kingston and Anna Mahalsia said about 2 weeks ago with Maria Z was that in the patents, so whether or not it's real, I don't know, the spike proteins are being activated. No, the spike proteins are DNA probes. They activate the cells or the DNA to release. No, that's not right. Just say, give me a sec. Because there's been over 3,100 vials around the world checked by different, there's about 20 groups around the world checking vials. They haven't been able to find mRNA. But the spike proteins are like DNA probes that activate the DNA to create the mRNA, or to create, there's like a connection
To
there. They're,
create the, you mean to create the RNA?
yeah,
Because
maybe. But the play, yeah, sorry.
DNA, is your blueprint, and that then is able to create the RNA, which is like the enzymes and the various things to carry out the blueprint's orders, if you like.
Yeah.
That's what I understand it
Yeah,
is.
and
So
Shimon
the,
sort of
yeah.
made the comment that mRNA is still more of a ethereal thing. It's never been proven, but everyone's talking about mRNA, but is it real? It's like, are viruses these nasty little things, or are they just toxins in our body? Yeah, so there's a but there were certainly scientists out of Sweden. They were talking about some of our genes being, like these. Something about these jabs have the ability to switch off our genes that are cancer protective, to switch off our genes for healing, to switch off our genes for, and we're seeing that. One of my clients was saying yesterday that her brother-in-law, who's a pretty healthy 50-year-old, dropped a pan on his foot at camping, and he ended up having to be hospitalized 3 times with, this infection that would not go away. So his immune system's just been decimated. Like, how stupid is that? A dude drops a pan on his foot, and next thing he's hospitalized and lots of antibiotics and things. Just no innate healing going on there. And all of a sudden people are getting fifth stage cancers. And I'm going, fifth stage? I'd never heard of fifth stage 3 years ago. But they're going from whoop to whoop, like it's so fast. It's talk about super spreaders. Like it's going to be interesting. And all these people getting things like shingles, or monkeypox, whatever we want to call it. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely, certainly in the patents, it talks about DNA damage and DNA changes.
Because you hear about this idea of the fact that they're trying to develop a new kind of human, don't they? And they've
Yes.
got
Well,
the patents for that particular genetic structure of a transhuman
oh,
compared
Dr. Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, talking about transhumanism 2.0. And we only think we're human. Those days are gone. All that fun stuff. It
Because
is quite bizarre.
as you know, they can't get a patent for a natural thing, but when they change the human to something different, they can patent that, which would
Yeah.
be terrible if they could ever do that, because that means they have complete control over that.
Well, I think there's already been two court cases. There was one in America in about 2013 and one in here in Australia in about, and I might have the years wrong, but I'm sort of thinking maybe 2017 or something, where something was in the human body that belonged to a pharmaceutical company. So the judges ruled both in the US and here in Australia that yes, technically, that part of them was still owned by the pharmaceutical. Is that what you're talking about? Like, I've heard that
Yeah.
several times, and I know that they were talking about the computer program that is the spike proteins that is telling our cells to create. That within that, they've actually got their own signature. These scientists are so egocentric that one of them was asked in an interview, so does that mean you could actually, patent this person? He goes, oh, all that would take is yada, yada, yada. I can't remember who that was, but they arrogantly talk about this sort of stuff. Yeah. Superhumans. Well, we're the superhumans. We're the superhumans, Neil.
That's
Yeah.
right. They're the ones that haven't gone along with the whole thing. You've had to use a lot of integrity, and haven't we, to
Yeah.
brush it
Oh,
aside.
it's amazing. Like, I have just watched so many family members just fold. My mum died about 18 months ago. She wasn't jabbed, but my stepdad, he's 93. So he would have been just 91 when they started rolling out the vaccines here in Australia to the oldies. And within about 8 weeks, and yes, old family, without a doubt, old family. But within about 6 or 8 weeks, he'd lost his sister. He'd lost a brother. So it was an older sister, a younger brother. There was a cousin. There was a sister-in-law. But I'm sure there's a fifth one. Maybe the fifth one was one of mum's cousins. And all of them were in aged care homes that were hit first. Or they were, they would have been terrified and just doctors people who would have done whatever the hell they were
That would
told.
all have been jabbed.
Yeah, but oh, without a doubt. But most, yeah, no, it wasn't COVID. No one got sick during COVID the first year. Oh my gosh.
That's right.
I don't know anyone who got sick. So it was really bizarre, but they were throwing out the 5G towers at that stage. So I interviewed Dr. Arthur Fersten. He's not a doctor, sorry, that's a lie. But I interviewed Arthur Furstenberg before Christmas as well. And he is an EMF expert because he was EMF damaged back in the 70s. Maybe it was, I think it was late 60s, early 70s. And he basically was at a dental thing and he had a root canal and had a whole bunch of, x-rays. And then one day he literally felt his brain explode. And from that moment onwards, the reason he knew it was radiation from machines and stuff, from then on, he could feel every machine around him for 9 months. So him and his girlfriend, they just went and lived out in the forest and they would turn off their electricity as soon as they could. And over a period of time, it started to heal. And then he started med school. And then second year med school, he was doing pediatrics and he was in a ward and there's so much machinery in hospitals. And he had a heart attack on the floor. And once again, he knew it was the EMFs because by that stage he was over the first round of damage. And then for the next 3 years, he could feel radiation and EMF or whatever. I'm probably using the wrong technology. But, and then since then, he has just been studying and writing books. And like he's done a book called The Invisible Rainbow, Arthur Furstenberg. And it's about the 150 years of health damage on the planet. Every time we increase radio waves, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, how there's always been a pandemic of some sort every time they've rolled out new technology. So, once again, we're obviously upgrading our DNA at the moment to be able to cope with, 3G, 4G, 5G simultaneously. They don't replace it, they just add in another one. I heard the military in the States is now putting up 6G towers.
Oh, my goodness.
And at the World Economic Forum, I think the head of Nokia, I don't think it was this year's World Economic Forum. It might have been last year, but he was talking about 6G and how we would need that. But the great thing is, you won't need your devices anymore.
Well, what will we be using then?
I think it will be chips in our brain. Billy Gates is putting money into that. Elon's putting money into that. But even then, I'm just going to say it. I think that's a distraction. I think the chips that they've got in these vaccines. And you just need to check out David Nixon's Substack and show and have a look at what he's found in the jabs. You know, it's phenomenal.
I was just looking on my phone because we get a lot of stuff from various things, and as you say, some of it can be not true necessarily. But anyway, at airports now, have you heard that they're now scanning people? Because a lot of people are having these false papers, to say they've been jabbed.
Oh,
So
yep.
I think they get them on their phone or something like that, and
Yep.
it gives them a passport to be able to get through a lot of things to prove that they've been jabbed. But now they're doing a certain scan at the airport now, and they say you're a liar. You haven't had a jab, because they can see, they can scan your body now.
Oh, right.
You
That's
heard about this?
the luciferase, I think. So I remember
Yes.
Carrie Madej talking about that 2.5 years ago. Did you
Okay.
see her very first? It was like 30 minutes and she was in tears by the end. It was just the most raw thing because about 8 or 10 or 12 years ago, she was invited to a business meeting where they were talking about technology and how it was going to take people to the next level. So she was there, and this isn't my phone, by the way, this is an air conditioner, but I'll pretend it's a phone. She was saying that they were up the front and they were saying, oh, it's going to be so fantastic because if you're talking to someone on the phone, it will know if you're lying. So it will
Wow.
give you, or it will know if they're lying. Sorry, not about me, it's about them. So it will say, oh, Neil's telling, Neil's heart rate is up. That might be a fabrication that he's saying, and it was actually showing this technology. And she's sitting there and everyone's clapping. And she's thinking, how is this a good thing? Why would anyone think this is okay to do this with technology? But yeah, so she talked about the luciferase as being a light, so it's a light particle. With
Yes.
the idea that once we have these injections, they will be able to scan our body and know what vaccine we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12, 50, 100.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And in the patents associated with the Western Australian app that kept them at home, the Gotta Go or whatever it was called. So when they were stuck at home, be on isolation, then in that patent, which was interesting because it was. Once again, it was Karen Kingston who was talking about that patent was patented for Western Australia like 5 years ago. And in it, they actually talk about the number of jabs, your occupation, ways of not having to have as much technology in your body. It listed all this other weird stuff in this app that was supposed to be just about being at home. I'm doing the right thing, sitting at home. The police ring me up and I say, oh, yeah. And I take a photo of myself, they know where I am. But the patents associated with it, some of these shenanigans the last 3 years have been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll all. I mean, I'm a person that's looking forward to developing a community. I've been trying to do that for some time, going back to nature, and because that's my belief that health is created by being in harmony with the law. So when you start, I mean, I wanted to do this anyway, whether all these things were going on, it didn't matter, but I think there is more people now that are realizing that we are a part of a society where we become slavish. We're dependent on society for everything that we do, including all our food and everything. So I think it is a healthy thing to look at, even though it might sound a bit bizarre, to almost create a movement like the hippies did many years ago and start to head back to n more of a natural world again.
And yeah, it does feel like, and they're going to be the outcasts. We're going to be the outcasts because most people are going to be happy to go into that Agenda 21 world of you will own nothing and you will be happy.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
So if we they class us as useless eaters, at least we can go and eat our produce our
Exactly.
own food.
Yes. One of the nicest things I saw in the last year was those monoliths being knocked over, the Georgia Guidestones. You know, when they were knocked over about 6 months ago, I was like, well, I wasn't sure whether it was us or them who knocked them over. Actually, maybe they didn't want people coming up and reading them anymore because they were getting well known. But yes, maintaining a nature positive 500 million people on the planet. Number 10 of the Ten Commandments.
500 million.
500 million, reduction of 85%. Pretty, or 90%. Interesting times. Anyway, I'd better wrap up. I've got to go pick up
Yes.
my grandie from school. Thank you for yakking.
All
And
right. No worries. It's been interesting.
yes, no, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Good to throw out lots of positive ideas out there. And yes.
Sure. Hopefully, this interview will get people thinking a little bit more. As I said, if they can just lift the curtain, they don't need any technical information. They don't need to be professors. They just need to look at some of the facts, and it doesn't hurt to look on the other side. A lot of people think that there's only one side to the story, but they always say that was an old saying, wasn't it? There's two sides to a story.
That's right.
All we're doing is saying to people, well, just do a little bit of investigation. It doesn't have to be a lot, but there's enough out there to show that what we're saying is quite valid, and they just need to discover the same thing, and they'll only do that if they can give to be open-minded and flexible enough to at least look at the other side, even though you don't agree with it. You might be heavily indoctrinated, you might believe in all the medical stuff and that sort of thing, but it doesn't hurt just to check. It doesn't take long, and you might learn something.
Yeah, absolutely. And if any of those people who have been indoctrinated are still here at this moment, I'm really bloody impressed with you. Well done. Well done.
Right.
Excellent. Well, that's fantastic, Neil. Thank you so
Okay,
much.
Donna. All right.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay.
All
Bye.
right. See ya.